You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
One of my favorite humans on the planet. We're blessed. He's typically on with me every Saturday. On my show on Saturdays, filling in this week here from noon to three. So great that he's able to adjust his time. And that is Bill Barnwell. You can see all his work on our ESPN.com platform. And he's on our airwaves and television tubes. Is my mom, Bill, my mom, the tube. What's on the tube, right? Your mom ever say that to you? What's on the tube tonight? I'm like, the tube? What's the tube? Anyway, hi, my friend.
I feel like if you say the tube, hi, Anita. I feel like if you say the tube, you also say the clicker for the remote. There's no other words there. But that's
right. Hand me the clicker. Hand me the clicker. Anyway, so Bill, let's kick off with what's going on in Cleveland. My heart goes out to them, and I'm not a Browns fan. Not going to pretend to be, even though my family's from Akron, Ohio, pretend to be one. But, man, if ever there was a time that you didn't want to have an infiltration of COVID-19 in your facility, it's now, especially with the Browns losing to the Jets and then now going up against a Steelers team that have already said we're going to rest our players, but still not sure if they're going to beat them because now they're dealing with COVID-19 as well. Your thoughts on what's going on with the Browns? What are you hearing? What do you expect?
I mean, psychic pain, you know, like just pain on a extreme level. If they lose this game and miss the postseason for the first time in about 15 years because they lost to the Jets, and lost comfortably to the Jets. It wasn't like that game was all that close. And then lose to the Steelers backups in week 17 in a game where you have Myles Garrett going up against Mason Rudolph. I mean, it just feels like it is the exact sort of game that would be so crushing for the Browns to lose, that there is no way for them to win it, that they're doomed to lose it, because it would be the most painful loss maybe in the regular season of the last decade in the NFL. I mean, we're hearing, you know, that the Browns are sort of hoping that this is it, that there's not going to be a more dramatic COVID outbreak. I know it was one player and one coach today, but yeah, I think if you're one of those teams and one of those organizations in those roles, you're just sort of on edge waiting for the next set of COVID tests, just hoping that you don't end up with a further outbreak. And we know the league does not want to push the playoffs back. We know that they have been very adamant about not wanting to play a Week 18. So it doesn't seem like the Browns are going to get any exception here. It seems like we're going to get Steelers-Browns, on Sunday, for better or worse.
Browns have to win in order to secure a seventh seed. They would take on the, and of course, assuming, of course, that Cleveland wins, then the Bills get the second seed. So they would have to travel to Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills in the first round of the playoffs. That line right now is minus 10. Cleveland is favored. I'm staying away from the lines, Bill. You know what I do like? If Baker Mayfield is fine, if his wide receiving core is back, he gets his offensive lineman back. Of course, no loss of Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt. I like the over 26.5 in points scored for the Cleveland Browns team. That's probably my favorite wager heading into this matchup.
Yeah, I mean, a nice team total there, a team that should hopefully have a more healthier offensive line than they had a week ago against the Jets. Just a game where it felt like everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Cleveland Browns in that contest. The Steelers, we know they're not going to play Ben Roethlisberger. I think some of their other defenders might be still up in the air. You know, we don't know if we're going to get a full game from T.J. Watt or Micah Fitzpatrick or, Cameron Hayward, the stars of that football team. And if we don't, I mean, the Browns should have every opportunity to score. So Mason Rudolph, we know, is a guy who loves to turn the football over. They could get a bunch of short fields in that game. So absolutely, I think, the 26.5 for their team totals and total play there.
And how this kind of affects the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to start off with its starters, but keep an eye on the scoreboard for Pittsburgh and Cleveland. If it looks like Cleveland has a really big lead, I think the Buffalo Bills are going to start resting their starters against Miami. If Miami does win, they will get the fifth seed, and they will take on a fourth seed Tennessee Titans. At least that's what I have, because I have Tennessee and both the Colts winning. But if Buffalo wins, then Miami, they are out, and Buffalo will take on a seventh seed Colts team. And then we will see a rematch, third straight time this season, of the Cleveland Browns heading to Pittsburgh to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they will play twice in 2 weeks. So I do anticipate the Miami Dolphins to win this game, by the way. You know, I think Buffalo is going to start resting players when they're looking at the scoreboard. I think they're going to start resting play. I'm curious, how do you think that Buffalo-Miami game is going to play out?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think something that comes to mind for me that seems pretty important is the injury to Cole Beasley. We saw in Week 16 where that was a basically garbage time at that point of the Patriots game. Cole Beasley goes down. You would assume he's not going to play this week, but I think that's a little bit of a warning shot, right? You know, if you're Sean McDermott and you're thinking about, okay, well, what do I do Week 17? We're playing well. I want to keep that heading into the postseason. And you'll lose a player possibly for longer than a week. We don't know yet. Lose a player to a total meaningless snap. I think that changes the way you think about things. I think, Sean McDermott's just a human being, and he's just going to, you know, have that recency bias pop into his head. So to me, I think, you know, they might be more aggressive with getting guys out of the game. Maybe they would have been without the Cole Beasley injury. And I do think, you know, this is 2020. We have access to what's happening in other games. So we've seen teams do this in the past where they've started with their starters, and then when things aren't going their way or things aren't, things aren't obviously heading their way where a win is going to be all that meaningful, I think that they are more likely to bench guys. I think, honestly, you're going to see Josh Allen and company for the equivalent of a preseason game, maybe for a series or two. And I think that unless, you know, they see a real benefit to keeping those guys in, like, a clear and obvious Browns are up, or the Browns are down, or Browns are up, you know, something that's obvious to them, I think they're going to take Josh Allen out, take their stars out, kind of err on the side of caution, and get into the postseason with a healthy roster, and then kind of think that they can beat anybody. Because we know the Bills, you know, they're riding high right now, an extremely confident football team, and the way they're playing, they deserve to be.
By the way, the Bills Miami game, it's the lines are not out there right now. I think they're waiting to hear or to anticipate exactly what McDermott is going to do with the Bills and their starters. So you cannot wager on that game at the present time. Some other games that we need to talk about, and that's Tennessee as well as the Colts. So you've got a Tennessee Titans team taking on the Houston Texans, and you've got the Colts at home going up against Jacksonville. Jacksonville is thrilled right now, right? Like, all they can think about is Trevor Lawrence. I know the line, like what is it right now? I want to say the last time I looked, it was like 14. Yeah, there it is. Colts are favored by 14 points. Jacksonville's just going to lay down and die. Like, beat us. We don't care. We get Trevor Lawrence now. Thank you very much, New York Jets. But for the Tennessee Titans, I still think they win this game, Bill, but I think it's going to be close. I think especially, you know, Watt's comments post-game, like, if you're not coming here to fight and play, then get off our damn team. And on top of that, you've got Deshaun Watson. He's averaging over 300 passing yards a game. And Tennessee, I came across a very interesting stat. The Tennessee Titans, their secondary has given up 11 touchdowns to opposing wide receiver ones. Just the ones alone this season, 11 touchdown passes. So I think the Texans could stay close. I still think Tennessee wins, but I kind of like the Texans with the points. But I'm curious to get your thoughts on these two teams and who you think makes it into the postseason.
Yeah, I think the Texans are more motivated than it might seem because of their record. I mean, on one hand, nothing to play for, obviously eliminated from the postseason, but, you know, they have no benefit to losing. It's not like they get a better draft pick if they lose because the Dolphins have their draft pick. And, you know, that might be a coaching thing for saying, hey, listen, like, the Dolphins are our opponents in the future. We don't want to give them any extra advantage. Let's win. Let's, you know, make them regret making this trade. And let's sort of sit here and, you know, try to give them the worst possible draft pick. I think the J.J. Watt speech really comes to mind, really sets the tone for what they're going to do this week in terms of their practicing, in terms of their effort level. I think Romeo Crennel, you know, I think the chances of him getting the head coaching job on a permanent basis are pretty slim. But if they were to beat Tennessee in Week 17, you know, upset them in a game where technically nothing to play for, kind of gives you a little bit on your resume where you can sit here and say, hey, maybe I deserve that permanent job because I did prove that, hey, you know, I got this team motivated after a frustrating week 16. This is a better team than their record indicates. I think we all know that. So, you know, I think that the Texans absolutely are going to put in a full effort. Now, they might not have the talent, but I do think that, you know, Tennessee is in a situation where they're going to get full effort. They need to get in, but Houston is a tough out. I mean, Houston is a team where we know when their passing attack is going, when they have their pass rush going, they're a tough football team. And they took Tennessee to overtime earlier this year in Tennessee, 42-36 defeat. But that was a close game. It took a last-second touchdown from Tennessee to even get it to overtime in the first place. So I do think that, you know, the Texans are a team that's going to be pretty competitive this week. So I do agree with you as well.
Before we start, because I want to end the show strong. I want to end your segment strong, talking about, of course, what's going on with Washington and in the NFC East. But before we do, let's talk about the Green Bay Packers. Now, they need to beat the Chicago Bears in order to get that number one seed and for the road to Tampa Bay to go through Lambeau Field and the Green Bay Packers. So Green Bay favored by 5.5. But man, Mitchell Trubisky, David Montgomery, I mean, they've been kicking butt and taking names. Granted, no-name defenses, but it's not like the Green Bay Packers defense does much anyway. And this is in Chicago. Do you like the Chicago Bears plus 5.5 this week, Bill?
I don't know. I don't think so. I just don't trust Mitch. And you saw him. You saw that interception before halftime, right? Where Mitch scrambled to one side of the field, scrambled all the way to the other side of the field, and threw a pass into quadruple coverage in the end zone for a pick. I think that Mitch Trubisky is playing efficiently when the opposing defenses who aren't very good aren't getting pressure on him. The play-action game is working. I feel like he's a streaky passer and he's had a hot stretch. And that's help for sure. But even though the Packers defense has not been very good over the past couple of years, they're good at rushing the passer and they're good at forcing turnovers. So Mitch Trubisky struggles against pressure, and we know he has a propensity to turn over the football. So I think that against a different defense, I would sit here and say, hey, the Bears have a shot. I just don't trust this quarterback who has, you know, done me wrong for 3 years now in meaningful situations against good football teams, that Mitch Trubisky is going to be able to hold up and do a good job against this Packers defense. So I do not lean towards the Bears in the situation, though. I do think the Packers, given that they have something to play for, given that this is Aaron Rodgers, you know, MVP culmination with Patrick Mahomes not playing, I do think that Aaron Rodgers has a big game, and I think we see the Packers win comfortably on Sunday.
All right, last but not least, let's talk about the NFC East. Giants at home. We know what time it is with that defense, granted. Daniel Jones, a shell of himself right now with that hamstring and ankle injury, but going up against the Dallas Cowboys team, granted, they've won 3 straight. But against cellar dwellers, let's be honest, the Giants favored at home. I'm taking the Giants on the money line. I am taking the Giants on the money line, Bill. Tell me I am right or am I wrong?
I think it's the right play. I think it's the right bet. I am nervous as a longtime Giants onlooker, I will say. As someone who grew up as a Giants fan, I am nervous. I would say that I am skeptical of this passing attack. I'm skeptical of Daniel Jones. I don't know how this offense is going to move the ball reliably, even against a bad Cowboys defense. I do think the pass defense is good, and I do think that they're a viable matchup against a Cowboys offense that looked great last week. I mean, they were moving the ball up and down the field against the weak points in that Eagles secondary, but Giants aren't as weak. They don't have that obvious weak spot as much in their secondary. So I do think that this could be a low-scoring game. I think I would probably take the under. I know it's, I think it's 45 now, open at 46.5. I, you know, wouldn't want it to go too much further down, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. And I think the Giants are in play. You know, I think it's going to come down to basically who protects the football better. And with Daniel Jones, that's an adventure. I mean, he's not always the guy who is so smart about avoiding those strip sacks, avoiding those interceptions, but Cowboys pass rush is not great, and I do think that the Giants have a shot if Daniel Jones does protect the football.
And it all comes down to this, and that is the last game of the season, and that is Washington at Philadelphia. Washington -1.5. My gut's telling me that Alex Smith is going to play. I love this Washington defense. I love their front seven. I'm getting wind that there's a chance that Doug Peterson is not going to be back in Philadelphia I think that they're going to be resting some players. I don't believe that Fletcher Cox is going to play. I love Washington here. I think Washington wins. I'll lay the 1.5, and I think Washington advances to the postseason. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what. Think about that Washington front four, which we know has been great against some of the better teams in football, let alone some of the weaker teams in football, going up against an Eagles offensive line, which is mostly backups at this point. I mean, it's just a huge mismatch. And Jalen Hurts, we know he can outrun guys here and there. We know he has the ability to make plays happen with his legs, and he's very good at that. And I think he's going to have a play or two in this game where we sit there and say, wow, what an incredible play from Jalen Hurts. He's also fumbled like 9 times over the course of his, you know, 3.5 games. He's turned the ball over a bunch. He's taken a ton of sacks. And it wouldn't shock me if the Eagles went a lot of this game in 2nd and long, 3rd and long, if they gave Washington a couple short fields after strip sacks or interceptions. And if you have Alex Smith in the game, Alex Smith is not a great quarterback at this point in his career, but he is going to protect the football. And Washington last week did not protect the football with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback. I think Alex Smith is going to put them in a situation where if they can play defense, they can win that football game. And I do think that they can play defense against a very limited Eagles offense. So I think we're going to be player two, but I think we're going to see a low-scoring game. I think we're going to see Washington somehow. I don't know how this is even possible. The 7-9 Washington football team will win the NFC East.
Yeah, and either the Miami Dolphins, the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans, or the Indianapolis Colts sitting with 10 or 11 wins is going to go home. Yeah. Welcome to the NFL, so Bill. Welcome to the NFL. It's really unbelievable.
Only
Bill, I adore you. I know, right? Happy holidays to you and yours. Happy New Year. So blessed that you have been a part of my weekend shows all season long. I really am. I am such a fan of yours. And we thank you from all of us here at 98.7 ESPN. Thank you, my friend.
You know it's a pleasure, Anita. Anytime.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.